Charles Dickens was wonderful with words, as we know, and that's why we begin with one word in particular, a word that was often used about the man himself, and that's generosity. For example, as president of the Rochester and Chatham Mechanics Institution, Charles Dickens read A Christmas Carol at their meeting on December 19, 1865, and the Chatham News praised his generosity and commented on his triumph of art as author and actor combined. That found in the Letters of Charles Dickens, Volume 11, edited by Graham Story. So generosity is a good word to explore when it comes to Dickens and this time of year. We're told the modern English word generosity derives from the Latin word generosus, which means of noble birth. During the 17th century, the meaning and the use of the word began to change and increasingly signified a variety of traits of character and action historically associated, whether accurately or not, with the ideals of nobility. That is, gallantry, courage, strength, richness, gentleness, and fairness, as we're told by Smith and Davidson in their study, The Paradox of Generosity. During the 18th century, the meaning of generosity continued to evolve in directions denoting the more specific contemporary meaning of munificence, open-handedness, and liberality in the giving of money and possessions to others, and this more specific meaning came to dominate English usage by the 19th century, and that brings us back to Charles Dickens. Dickens had a sense that generosity is paradoxical, that those who give receive back in turn. By spending ourselves for others' well-being, we enhance our own lives. By giving ourselves away, we ourselves move toward flourishing, as Smith and Davidson remind us. And is there a better reminder than Dickens' A Christmas Carol? The Bloomsburg Theatre Ensemble is celebrating its 40th anniversary season, and the company's members have always been so generous in sharing their talents and efforts with the community, and they are so truly grateful for the long-time continuity of support of the community for those efforts. There are many lovely stories connected with the ensemble's four decades of making theater in Bloomsburg, and many concern those very first years when young theater students came from Chicago to study with a legendary teacher of their art, Alvina Krauss, and they began to put down roots in the region. A Christmas Carol has been a fixture of BTE's holiday roster almost from the very start, and Rand Whipple, who was Scrooge at the start, is back on stage as Scrooge in his, shall we say, maturity. As Scrooge in the story revisits his youthful self, Rand is certainly considering those early days of doing theater and developing his life here. But there's also an especially poignant note to this production of A Christmas Carol, a story whose theme, as we heard, is the embodiment of generosity, and it entails an invitation to the community to attend this Thursday's performance of A Christmas Carol at the Alvina Krauss Theater in downtown Bloomsburg, when the show's theme will be brought to life, not just on the stage. We had a chance to speak by phone with Rand Whipple, who is a theater professional who has explored the art of mime in the course of his career, founder and director of Box of Light, and founding member of the Bloomsburg Theater Ensemble, about his being Scrooge then and now.
Oh, it's an amazing journey. It is. And it kind of paralleled aspects of the play and the role, in that I was the first Scrooge at BTE for the first 3 years, back when we were just beginning the company. So I was very young and, you know, playing a guy much older looking, who in a way looks back on his life and looks at his choices and the ability to go back to this almost 40 years later in the 40th season and reprise the role. It's amazing, because all those things that you sort of stretch to try to understand when you're early 20s, when you're now at the ripe age of 62, the life experience is there. So it's just a rich experience to be able to look back and fill the role with the age the man would have been at the time. Now, I think Scrooge would be like a 75, 80-year-old man, because he is at the end of his life in a way that hopefully 60-year-olds are not today. But you do still have those knocks and rough spots and joys and loss and regrets and hopes over a lifetime that will fill the role when you come back to it at this age. So it's been so wonderful. And it's been wonderful to go back and perform with great old and new friends at BTE. While I performed constantly, I've not been on the BTE stage as a performer in 20 years. So just being in this production is looking at the ghost of Christmas Carol's past constantly. I mean, I can't look at a character without seeing the faces of three or four other people who've played the role or with whom I've performed. So it's just a deep, rich, wonderful experience for us. And to be able to perform with my wife, Elizabeth Dowd, and our daughter, McCambridge, came back from Chicago. She now works as an actress in Chicago. She's back in the production. So to be able to perform with them I just cannot describe it. It's so wonderful. And Richie Cannaday, the director, has given us a great, great gift. And our son is going to be playing a role for one day when he comes back for Christmas. So he'll be in the Fezziwig party, which happens in the past, where he will step into the role. So for one day, all of us will be on stage together. So that'll be great.
And Rand, you have been so aware in your own career of the power of silence, the power of movement. And I think that we get a lot of that, don't we, in Scrooge, where he's just beholding things. And yet I'm sure that you bring to those moments something that's very full and rich because of your training.
Yes, I think that's absolutely true, that the Dickensian characters are extruded a little bit. So they're not melodrama and they're not realism. They are just a little bit, he does it with the names, the Fezziwigs and the Cratchit and the Scrooge. He kind of gives it to you in the names and physical descriptions. And I think there is something of a style to Dickens that is a little more physically exaggerated slightly than realism. So yeah, I do feel myself very much approaching this as a physical part. And it is a tremendously physical part in terms of the character's journey throughout his night and an actor's journey throughout the 2 hours of the performance. It is physical. It's like as emotionally and physically, you play all the keys on the keyboard. There's so many emotions in the night. He's fearful and caustic and hopeful and angelic and bitter and acerbic and terrified and childlike and euphoric. And so you get to go up and down the keyboard emotionally, which is also physically exhausting. So by the time you get to the end of it, I am ready for bed. I'm just so physically tired. I'm so happy emotionally because you sort of like you get to clean the carbon out. You know, you just really get an emotional range you play, and that's a wonderful feeling. But physically, I'm wiped at the end of the night.
In that is a wonderful bridge to the fact that Dickens was so sensitive to what was taking place in London and the poverty and the illness and how those things might be related. And then we have this character, Tiny Tim, who is actually physically challenged in the play. Mm-hmm. And this is a subject that you are actually bringing to light. But talk with us about your Tiny Tim and how he's being characterized in this particular production.
Well, we have two wonderful Tiny Tims there. You know, sweet, angelic little kids. And you see the physicality of this, that they are, like you say, physically challenged. In Dickens' world, Tim is also practically starving to death. That, you know, the addition of Scrooge's, simply the money he puts into the family, allows Tim to live. So you have to figure, well, whatever his affliction was, it was fixable. With the difference is probably better heat, better nutrition. That's sort of what happens to his family, and he's able to live because of Scrooge's contributions to the family, whereas without those, we see that he would have died. So there is that that waning of a child's body, but not his spirit. And that's the wonderful, wonderful, beautiful thing about that character, is that he is his father's son. I think Cratchit is an equally great a character in that story as Scrooge, that he, in the midst of his poverty and his achingly, his experience of watching his children struggle and not have enough to eat and not be warm enough, that he retains this almost Christ-like ability to just not blame anyone and not be angry. And that sort of gentleness of spirit in Bob Cratchit, that's, I think, what teaches Scrooge. I think looking at Bob Cratchit is the final thing in Scrooge that truly, deeply changes that man. And you see that in the wonderful child he has, whose body is failing, but his spirit is just a beautiful spirit. And, you know, there's always, I think, in any production almost of Christmas Carol, you have, you get wonderful, angelic, chubby-cheeked kids playing emaciated kids. So every Cratchit child is buoyant and has that part of it. It's, you know, I don't know how you get the other part unless you starve your actors, which is not going to happen.
And so this Thursday evening, you're calling our attention to something very important which we may overlook. And you have had an experience in your life that has changed things forever for you. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going to happen on Thursday and how it's played out for you?
Yes, well, Thursday night at the Christmas Carol, we're doing an organ transplant donor night. And that's a night where we're inviting anybody who has been a donor of an organ, a recipient who has received an organ, kidney, liver transplant, and their families, and medical staff who are involved in transplant to the theater. I was fortunate enough to be able to donate a kidney last June. So that was just a tremendously deep, rich, rich experience for me. And you just, as you go through that process of deciding whether to do it and being evaluated as to whether you are able physically to do it and emotionally and all those ways you need to be ready to do something like that, you learn a tremendous amount about the need for that and the call for organs and what people can do. And for kidney, which was my donation, you know, we're all given two kidneys, but strangely enough, and I have no idea why, we only need one. So people can donate a kidney and still live absolutely healthy, happy, functional, no-problem lives after doing so. So having learned about that, it was important to me to be able to do what I could to just raise awareness of that, that organ donation is not something that everybody can or even should do. But a lot more people can do it than think they can do it. And the call is so great out there for organs. People who receive an organ from a living donor tend to do better and have an easier time of it than those who receive donors from a deceased, a cadaver donor. So this Thursday is a time for us to look and sort of hopefully get people together and have you go, wow, this person next to me, that's a recipient, that's a donor, well, he looks healthy, that's great. And to sort of acknowledge the gift. And to me, Gift of Life is going to be one of the sponsors and one of the involved organizations in that evening. And I think that's just a wonderful description of what donation is. It's the gift of life. And when I think of it, you think, well, you have the donors and they're part of the gift and the recipients are part of the gift and the medical staff are part of the gift. So I really hope that we, you know, get a chance to look at all those three parts that make up the gift of donation, the medical, the recipients, the donors, because all, you know, are a part of giving it and also all of them receive within that as well. As I said, it's a deep and it is a rich experience on, I think, for everybody involved. So Thursday night is our chance to just sort of do what Scrooge does in the end of the play and just know that there's a world out there that you can do good in and step into doing that and acknowledge that for those who have been a part of that particular gift.
And this is such an appropriate context in which to raise these questions and to bring it to light.
Well, I love the idea that in this production, it's Scrooge who gives the kidney. You know, in real life, it'd be Bob Cratchit. But in this one, it's Scrooge. And I also, just as a performer, I don't know that my recipient will be able to be there on the night. He works in another state. Because I love the idea of having one kidney on stage and one in the audience. And I spoke to him when I spoke to him in the hospital. I said, you know, it's your kidney, it's not mine anymore. But if I could ever borrow it back, I'd like to do it on one night when you come to see Christmas Carol. So I have one kidney on stage and know that one's out there in the audience. So I don't know that that will happen, but it's my hope.
And if people want to learn more?
Well, they would go to Guy Singer's website or Gift of Life, and they will get the information about donation. Now, if there are donors or organ recipients out there, they simply need to call BTE box office or email, and they will get a free ticket for the 14th, this Thursday. If there's any medical and families and medical staff, we'll get group rates as well. So we BTE really tried to make this possible for people to come and see a show and share within their particular community.
I was just thinking as you were talking and describing it, Rand, what would have happened or what would have been the case with the young Rand Whipple? You might have gone through it, you might have done it, but isn't it something at this point in life that you have that life experience of your own and you can make this decision and have it be a deeply rich experience? There is a difference there, isn't there?
You know, that's a wonderful thought, because I think when I was younger, it just wasn't on my radar. I never conceived of it. And it wasn't until I was of an age where I think one's openness to the world and your place in it and what you want to be able to do and contribute in your life in the various ways you can do so that became something like, oh, well, I wonder if I should do this. And I think you're right. I think it's a thing that comes with age or a maturity at a younger age than I had it, perhaps.
Rand Whipple, who is Scrooge in the current production of A Christmas Carol at the Bloomsburg Theater Ensemble. The show will run now through December 27th, details online. But Rand was speaking with us today to call attention to this Thursday's performance at 7:30 in the evening, Thursday, December 14th, at the Alvina Krauss Theater, and that's 226 Center Street in Bloomsburg. That's when the Bloomsburg Theater Ensemble will call attention to organ donation. There will be representatives from Geisinger and Gift of Life on hand and people in the audience who have had the experience of donating or receiving an organ. And Rand Whipple has spoken with us about his experience, and he is Scrooge, and he will be there to answer questions as well after the performance. A Christmas Carol at the Alvina Krauss Theater, presented by the Bloomsburg Theater Ensemble, now through December 27th. Evening performances Thursdays through Saturdays at 7:30, Sunday matinees at 3, and again this Thursday, the December 14th, production at 7:30 will be a special event to call attention to organ donation. For more information on the web, bte.org, bte.org. The box office number is area code 570-784-8181, 784-8181, area code 570. That's bte.org, and they are at the Alvina Krauss Theater, 226 Center Street in Bloomsburg. A Christmas Carol now through the 27th of December. Evening shows Thursdays through Saturdays at 7:30. Sunday matinees at 3. The director is Richie Canaday.